boy, you know what time it is. I'm Javon.
I'm Jasmine.
I'm Jace.
Welcome to Let Me Get My Headphones, home of the All Artists Studio, the ultimate destination for artists. It's Thursday, March 9th in the year of the artist. Co-host Jasmine, Jace, listeners around the globe. How y'all doing?
What's up, party people? Good to see y'all. Welcome back. It's International Women's History Month.
Oh, wow.
So he shout out to the ladies, 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 ladies.
He did come on the mic different.
My bad.
That's new, is it?
Nah,
is it because the beard moisturized or what?
It does look good today. I felt good about myself.
It does look good.
I did some self-care today, you know. Production is, invested in a little better lighting for me, you know. You know, we're seeing the difference, you know. We're seeing the skin contouring.
Yeah.
It's coming in quite nice.
The skin contouring.
I don't know whatever that shit called.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's been a good week. We all moved into the new place. We're recording in a new office right now as we speak. Still not decorated, so we got to do a little decorating, get my couch in here. Get a little spades table, like a mini table. This is going to be a great place when y'all, you know, visit, so we can actually record in here now, which is kind of cool. So that'll be dope.
Thank you for setting up our Atlanta location.
Yeah, super, super dope Atlanta location. I'm excited. But it's been overall, it's been really cool. I'm excited about everything that we're talking about today, but especially the special interview that we got, you know, coming out this week. I know we can't say much, but, you know, we really had a good time. But I want to ask Jay. It'll be already out by now. Yeah, it'll actually already be out, but I don't want to say what it is. Yeah. I know we're going to say what it is towards the end. We'll make it a surprise. But Jay, how you doing, love?
I'm okay now. I had quite a weekend. My God in heaven, ooh. I had a weekend. Not in a good way. Let's say.
We had a time last night.
We went to a really not great show. And then.
Which we're going to talk about.
Right, which we're going to talk about. Couldn't find a restaurant that was open. We were like all over the city walking. My homegirl had on heels. We had to walk like 2 miles unexpectedly. You know, the food was cool, but super expensive. And then on the way home, I caught a flat at like 1 a.m. outside of the city and had to wait for a tow truck. Luckily, Javon was with me.
I was with her.
And you know what? And it's funny because now it's funny, but I had the phone case that I had was like a mirror because it was like reflective. And so I made it so it was like a mirror. So, you know, lip gloss reapplication, whatever. But it cracked. And my homegirl, she was like, she's into like crystals and stuff like that. She was like, you need to change that because you're just walking around with bad luck. And I'm like, girl, whatever. And so anyways, all of that happened.
And you didn't change it, so.
I didn't change it.
Listen to your space astrology friends.
Home girls.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Listen to your space magic friends, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes, you know, when the moon is in Uranus or whatever it is.
Right. Some in Venus.
They ain't lying sometimes. They really ain't. They know
they
something.
They not lying.
They really not. I'm sorry for disrespecting the astrology. I don't want astrology.
That's the lesson
astrology
here,
listeners
actually.
To eat me up, please.
That is the lesson.
Don't eat me up in the comments. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had an okay weekend. Besides the incident, especially we're definitely gonna talk about the venue me and Jasmine went to with our homegirls. But outside of that night, you know, it has been a good weekend and I'm glad to be back on the mic with everyone. And, you know, doing the things that we do best, creating quite the place for artists to come and share their stories. But today, listeners, you know where I'm finna go. You're going to want to grab your headphones with this because we have a lot to talk about today. But before we get into the show, bring in them swords for our girl Jasmine.
In Melon News, Javon talks Fenty featuring the Super Bowl and entices the team with some unsurprising but emboldening statistics regarding women of color in the music industry. And in light of Marvel's most recent release, I solicit some admission of hero superhero fatigue and what the flick, and we find a split in the team's first impression of the brand new season of Netflix's You. Got a little tongue-tied on that one. But finally, Jay showcases the latest on-the-rise indie artist and gives a peek inside Volume 20 of the Let Me Get My Headphone playlist.
Hello, motherfucker.
And of course, y'all know what time it is. It is time for the big three. These are the most listens we had for the last episode in the cities that they were in. So coming in at number one, we have Las Vegas, Nevada. I think that city is familiar. Coming in at number two, we have Accra, the greater Accra region.
New.
As in Ghana. That is very far away from where we knew. That is new and very far. So welcome. number three, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Familiar faces. Shout out to y'all.
Is Keith Lee listening to us?
I mean.
Does Keith Lee get his headphones? And listen probably, to us, that would be really, probably. You know, I would love for him to.
This is my rating of Let Me Get My Headphones 1 through 5.
Not too much.
Melanews. Melanews. I want to give Melanews a right, 9 out of 10.
Right.
Keith, if you listen to this, y'all. We love you.
Big three, shout out to y'all. We always love watching the leaderboard change. Keep it coming. But now we're on the mic next time. We want to see y'all go hard. All right. So share this with your friends, with your family, with your brother, your sister, unless you're driving, but do it afterward. But unless not, do it now. Thank you. Before I go, please make sure y'all visit letmegetmyheadphones.com and on social media at letmegetmyheadphones. We will be right back after that. After that break.
Welcome back, y'all. You know what time it is. This is Melon News, music news told by a black man. You know I'm always coming with some study or some statistic. So first up, keeping it real.
We knew that was coming.
We always expect first. The UK government did a study discussing concerns over algorithm recommendations. So check this out. So 89.2% of creators that responded to this survey agreed or strongly agree that they are concerned about the biases in recommendation algorithms, and it could lead to certain artists or labels being prioritized over others. Go figure, huh? Studies suggest that men and women are recommended different artists, indicating the users' gender factors into recommendations made by algorithms. However, regardless of the user's gender, music streaming platforms appear to predominantly recommend white male artists to users at a significant rate. And this is a study done by the UK government departments for digital culture, media, and sports. You know, one thing about the UK, I love that their government gets involved. They do these studies, and they are able to provide this insight into, these things that really are controlling what we see. And I'm wondering for y'all, is there any surprise here, that they are this level of concern?
I appreciate the concern, but I'm not surprised by the findings. Algorithms are primarily, the tech space is primarily dominated and, you know, orchestrated and created by, you know, cishet white men, by a large, large number. And this is why diversity is really, really important, in the tech space, because even in music and music consumption, we are seeing that, you know, these algorithms are leading people to only listen to one certain type of music. And it may not be everybody, right? But it's enough people where the UK is like, yo, let's sound the alarm because this ain't what it. So good on them.
Primarily use Apple Music. I do use Apple Music for the most part. And I'm thinking that the algorithm is showing me like the things that I listen to frequently. So like, I don't know if I like things like Baby Tate, it would be that would similar artists and whatever would come up like that. So, but somehow I will say that somehow there was always like, what's that guy that went with Megan Fox? Machine Gun. There's always like the Kid LAROI or like Machine Gun Kelly, mm-hmm. like randomly sprinkled somewhere. And it's like, why are y'all recommending this to me? So no,
it's really not surprising to you, at honestly, all. If you say that, like they're recommending Machine Gun Kelly and all of those type of people, like it might be some underlying shuffling going around. Well, thank you for indulging me on that one. So this next story is about an article that I saw on TrackLib, and it's talking about the artificial digging, how Google's AI now reveals producers sampled. And I thought this was pretty cool for us too, especially a crate digger like Jace and then Jasmine, who is very much into coming ahead of the horizon of women in music is where she falls, and thinking about like how this new AI is a part of going to be a part of a lot of industries. We talked earlier this week to FAMU, and I talked a little bit about how AI is one of our fourth employee, honestly, or our first employee, our fourth team member. But when I came across this article on TrackLib, it was very interesting because it discussed how a community of music lovers have discovered a smart way to use Google AI music recognition to find the tracks or to find the samples for music tracks. This method has been used to reveal hidden samples in music tracks that have been reimagined or undefined, unknown for over 20 decades. So you're thinking about Daft Punk or Mobb Deep, and the list goes on, the amount of artists that this app or this AI is using or recognizing, I should say. The article goes on to discuss how the technology breaks into an entirely new group of finding out the identity of these samples and how it is outsmarting some of the seasoned crate diggers who have unearthed samples for as long as the art of sampling has existed. The article also goes on to talk about how Google AI's music recognition is far more advanced than other audio fingerprinting methods like Shazam. And you know what really stuck out to me there is like, what if Shazam ends up using AI in its app, you know? Like, what if it moves into that and now it's not so much like it tells you the song, but it also from this side tells you the producers or tells you the samples as well? Because I feel like we're going to see a lot of these apps like expanding on the technology that they have, creating new opportunities or creating new technology, but then also revamping some of the stuff that's in-house, because I feel like a little bit of this AI was already like decentralized in some of these music industry places, but now it's going to be coming to a head and we're going to be able to see it more consolidated, more upfront that AI is actually helping. There's been a lot of discussion, a lot of discussion on AI in other industries and really finding in music that composers are using ChatGPT to compose brainstorms for their upcoming tracks or, you know, all these things that they're working with artists. So I think it's really cool. Tell me what y'all think.
I kind of saw this coming because it's like after I saw like a ChatGPT website where you could like type in an artist's name for that type of song and then like the computer with the artificial intelligence would literally try to create something as close to it as possible. Like I typed in like Catronata beat with Donald Glover or something like that. And it spit out a song that sounded very eerily similar to Catronata. Like if Donald Glover was on it, like it was really cool. I was like, yo, that's crazy. Like, but that was one thing that stuck out to me that I was just thinking about when you were talking. I'm like, typically people just tell you to go Google and then you don't know what you're looking for. And so these are the type of, you know, tools and technology and resources that really help folks, especially like if you want to start using a critical lens with music, which we always encourage on this show, this is these type of tools can help you. But there's always a slippery slope with all of this stuff too. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like AI making music is really weird.
Yeah, and that's the thing for me. I can't really get past the slippery slope. I think it is like incredible the things that AI is able to do and how it can like take a project or an idea light years ahead. Like I think it's really, really, truly incredible. But I think its ability to really mimic human intelligence and behavior and just like stuff, it's so eerie. It's so eerie and sinister to me. And that slippery slope, it's a little bit like, it sucks the integrity out of artistry, especially when you're talking about people who dug through crates to find it. And it was just like by word of mouth or just listening or ear or having the knowledge or doing whatever. Like that's a lot of the creative process. There's a lot of learning that goes into that as well. So I think it's definitely a tool, but it's like, I don't know. I don't want to be like, oh, it's a shortcut, because that's an understatement. I think that's understating it a little bit. But this in particular, being able to find the samples that were like nearly impossible to find, very, very, very cool.
And I think one of the parts of it too that
really cool way
is some of those artists that weren't identified before will start getting their shine in this new era of music, and making sure people get the credit as their credit is due. Hopefully AI could add some due diligence to the process. Hopefully,
yeah.
And the next story goes directly into that category of just the slippery slope of making the transition from where people know you to where, you know, your fan base may be growing to. We talked about this a little bit. A prelude to it is that we went to meet Jasmine and some of her homegirls. Thanks for the invite, y'all. Jasmine that came on the show, Jasmine right here, and her homegirl, Kier. Shout out to Kier. So we went to Drewski. We went to see Drewski, okay, y'all? I'm going to give you facts first, because I just want y'all to be, I want you to be clear that I'm clear-hearted in this review. Jasmine, you clear-hearted in this review as well, just to make sure. Okay. All right, cool.
I am. Pure critique.
Okay, Drewski just started his tour in a couple of weeks, probably a couple of days ago at this point, on the 3rd. He came to D.C. and then he came to Baltimore. We went to see him in Baltimore. Let's talk about the facts. The location, the venue was at the Lyric. I don't know if it's the Lyric Opera House or Lyric, but the Lyric. Okay. That was okay. Beautiful. It was nice. It reminded me of a place that was on base at one point. And took me there. I was like, okay, this is cool. They had good parking. They had a parking deck over there. So cool. Crowd, okay. I'm gonna give y'all, what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 points, and then the last one is the critique. The second point, the crowd. The crowd, we was there. We meaning us. If you know what I mean, I'm tapping to the back of my hand. Not the front, not the inside, but the back. We was there, and I love that, okay? But then there were others in the mix, the front of that. The inside of the palm tap, okay? They were in the building as well. So when you think about it and you step back, you're like, oh, okay, this is Drewski's crowd, okay? A lot more of us, but they were sprinkled in. And that was good. You know, I thought I have never been in a crowd to see a live event that was that diverse. If we're going to, you know, call a spade, I thought he did great on that. Content, okay, this is where it gets real weird, okay, because I didn't know what the content was. The concert or the tour is called Could Have Been Records Tour, okay, but the content of the show was just not there.
Who were the artists like that were there performing? Like, was it Drewski? Like, just introducing artists?
You want to take this, Jeff?
Like, I didn't even know Drewski was on tour.
Yeah. So none of that to answer your question.
Yikes.
It was none of that. There was an opener. I don't remember the gentleman's name.
Comedian.
Nav Green. And he was he was a classic, like, you know, stand up format comedian. And he did that for maybe about 30 minutes, I would say, something like
that. Okay, so warm up.
There was a DJ in the beginning, before Nav came on, and kind of intermittently in between, you know, between Nav and then Drewski coming on. Nav did his thing, right. They introduced Drewski, he comes out, but there's, you know how he does, Could Have Been Records on IG Live, where it's basically like this talent show where you invite people from all over the, it was that, but on stage. It was that, but on stage. And it did not translate at all, because it did not showcase Drewski's talent as a comedian. There, it created no connection whatsoever between him and the audience. And also the people, the acts that were brought on for the talent show, quote unquote, they weren't even funny. So it didn't even add to the comedic content. Like it wasn't funny. It was like, it felt like a waste of a Saturday night, and like, it was disappointing, because Drewski is funny. You know, but that's to answer your question. That's what the format of the show was.
This is why Kev on Stage won that award, that NAACP award, for the work that he does. Like, what they do with that studio, like, they're not just making a bunch of Instagram or TikTok skits. They have script writers. Like, they have all those comedians are in there, like, writing jokes. And then also the one thing that they do is when they host shows, the people that are in those skits with Kev on Stage are comedians. They are full-time comedians. Like, they travel all around the place. They're prepared. Right. They got jokes on jokes on jokes just off the clip that they can drop at any time. And it is, for like, Drewski is not a traditional comedian of the sense. And I know that he is, you know, just now starting to get into this. And I know it takes a minute to, like, kind of find your niche. Like, everybody's not that good at it. Like, you know, you don't wake up and you're Dave Chappelle, and Dave Chappelle is, you know, I have my opinions about him. You don't wake up and you're Gerard Carmichael, you know, like, everybody has their own path to this.
Even if this was Drewski's opportunity to expand his profile, I believe, and it was a missed one, because this is a classic case or a study of, what did we say, Jasmine? Micro art, not being able to live up to the stage in this case. And his micro art is trying to take IG stuff and put it on stage, and it translated into a low budget high school talent show. Like, I'm not, like, that's what it was given. It was given, like, I paid for a high school show because of the venue too. And again, I'm trying to give him, I give Drewski a lot of grace in this, or his people, whoever came up with it, a lot of grace in it, because it is his first tour. I do also think that it might perform better in another part of the country, hopefully. But this is one of those times where it's like, I came not knowing where Drewski was from. I came not knowing what else Drewski does, like some hobbies of Drewski's I wish I would have came out of. I left there with the same questions. And I think that that's a huge, huge missed opportunity to connect with a fan base that was so broad. Like, I feel like he could have done Could Have Been Records, but also tried something new. Like, Drewski didn't say much of anything. Everybody else did the work around him. And, like, I don't know. I don't know why you would want to go on tour. And then you think back at, or me personally looking back at how Drewski was able to do the tour before, is because he had an act that followed him. Like, he had a music talent that followed him, like a Drake or whoever, and a whoever, these big names. And then the type of crowd was particular. You know, the people that's coming to a Drake concert, Mike can sing, Mike can dance.
Just like any creative endeavor, I think storytelling is a key component in it, especially when you're a comedian, when a large part of it is anecdotal. Like, it's a lot of comedians that get on stage and the entirety of their set are just like moments with their friends that they were pissed off, or things that they found funny in the barbershop, or when they were in Target. Like, no matter whether it's like, no matter the demographic, whoever the comedian is, they're really up there just talking about things that they don't or do like, you know, and it's just telling a story. Right. And all of that was absent in Drewski's set. All of it. There was, he did say very little compared to like people that were plucked from the audience. And for me, it was confusing because I didn't know who was in on it and who wasn't. And it was just like, I don't know what I was looking at.
It feels like people don't know they're not in on
it. If you're not in on the jokes.
And I think that's also kind of the weird thing is it gets really like, I can't remember the dude that lives like in Atlanta and he does like all the Atlanta skits. I think his name starts with like a D or something like that. But,
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I can't remember. I know you're talking about. But I remember seeing a couple of comedy sets of his, like when he was doing some live stuff and people recorded. He was like doing local clubs in Atlanta, and comedy is really hard. Like, I it's really, really, really hard. Like, and you don't get paid. Like, people don't realize
it's about folks the craft. Who it's about what you doing, what people are showing up for.
Like, that's what I'm getting at, is that a lot of comedians spend most of their time like in and out of clubs, not getting paid. Like, they go up, like, comedy is a hobby. Very rarely do like when you see these big time comedians who make it, like, it takes a really, 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 really long time. Like, before we knew Nick Cannon is like wilding out Nick Cannon, as a high schooler, like a teenager, was traveling around the country as far as Alaska doing shows, like barely getting paid a dime when he was on tour. Like, there is a lot of work. And like, I think what has changed is social media has like given people a misconception of what comedy is. And you think that, you know, skits and stuff on Instagram and Vine is, you know, internet comedy is comedy. Micro, but at the same art. Time, it's like, it's not stand up. Like, even
you called it short form versus long form. I thought that was a good way of explaining it. Short form, think low art. Think, and we touched on that a couple episodes back in reference to, you know, the reality shows, things that you're consuming virtually almost 100% of the time. Short form, that's micro consumed. You know, you can ingest that quickly, get a quick laugh out, and move on with your day. Long form, this is, and you know, we don't, it's generally discouraged to use the terms real actors, real writers, but y'all know what we mean. Y'all know what exactly what we're talking about. Because we're talking people
who can make the transition.
Quentin Brunson, who can make people who are really writers, who are placing storytelling, putting that as one of the precedents, and not just trying to be funny.
This is Javon Music News and Other Critiques Told by a Black Man. We'll be back after this short break.
And here we go. Are you the Keymaster?
F it up, fuzzball.
We came, we saw, we kicked it down.
This baby hits 88 miles per hour. They're gonna see some serious shit.
Welcome back. It is time for What the Flick. It is Jasmine here. Award season is back. The lull in award season has kind of ended a little bit. Beginning with the SAG Awards, the Screen Actors Guild Awards, the usual culprits that have been dominating this award season. Everything Everywhere All at Once, Ozark, and White Lotus were some of the big winners for the SAG Awards. They showed up on the red carpet. They were looking good. They have been having conversations with their stylists, I see. They've probably been listening to...
Absolutely.
They probably been
seeing
on
that their
lives.
Name wasn't mentioned, you said.
And was, and, you know... And, right. And decided to put them back in them dresses that they knew they needed to be in. But speaking of sweeps... Everything All at Once has been doing has been doing some unprecedented numbers. Ain't that what y'all say in political and political spheres? They have done a sweep at all of the major guild award shows. So the Writers Guild, the Producers Guild, the Screen Actors Guild, and the Directors Guild Awards. So we're talking like best actor, best supporting female actor, like the big awards.
It's the best film out. It was the best film out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, I'm glad it's getting its flowers.
Absolutely. And Michelle Yeoh, she's racking them up. She's racking them up. But we had the NAACP Image Awards recently, and Zendaya's return to the red carpet, where she gave us not one, but four brand new looks with her and La Roche. As Javon, you say it as all one word. All one word. No pause anywhere. Stunning.
That nigga does not miss, dog.
That's a match made in heaven. They are making fashion history. And, you know, she's being stingy. They're being stingy with the red carpet appearances, which you have to be at this caliber at this point. You know, we love the anticipation.
I think last episode, or like when we was offline, you said that. And I love an artist, okay, that stays connected to its roots, and not just its roots in like where they come from, but their people, you know, for you not to miss an NAACP award, but you might miss the Oscars because it's not.
You might. Hello?
Priorities.
Yes.
Priorities, hello. Yes.
You want to talk about rooted, okay, grounded, that's principled. Right.
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. When you said
we noticed.
My girl. Okay.
Yeah, we always take notice. Always take notice.
Right.
Yeah, shout out to BET. It was a really good award show. Like, shout out to the fam.
Absolutely. Outstanding drama series, P-Valley. What's the, how does that, how, what does the trophy look like in real life?
Patrick's not back yet, so, you know, we'll see when it gets here. But shout out to the gang. They worked their ass off in season two. So many great speeches from that show. Nico, like Uncle Clifford, gave one of the best speeches like I've ever heard. Really just great all around night for Black queer folk, like from Nico, like the representation like in P-Valley has. And I think that's one thing that I really loved is like the embracing of it. Like it's telling a very, very particular story that doesn't get told. And like you see some of the most marginalized folk in our community that are being able, like, are having their stories told, where people don't think those stories are important. And I, in a world where we're seeing, you know, attacks on people's existence. And so it's really important to have those characters on TV and people to identify with them and see themselves in those characters. Like so many people love Uncle Clifford. I'm a big fan of Nico's. I've cooked for that Negro. And it was a pleasure of him telling me that I had some of the best chicken he's ever eaten in his life. And so for him to win that award, like to see his speech, to know where he comes from and know what he represents is like super dope. Like just hats off. Abbott Elementary too. I mean, what more can we say? Like so many shows just racked up that night. Like and what was really cool was like even when Abbott won, they like acknowledged Black-ish and like the trailblazer that they were on ABC. Like you see Abbott talk so much about like they really get credit for like saving network television, like primetime network television.
As they because,
like for real, because it was almost nailing the coffin over there. And now you're seeing like a rebirth of it and other channels are starting to see that. And they're just telling the regular stories. Public school teachers and like how humanizing that is. That's why like I loved Gray William Tyler James speech earlier this year during the Emmys when he was just saying, you know, this is for regular Black people. Like I want to, you know, make more stories about regular Black men. And like to see just regular people living every day. They don't got to be as excellent as they need like on camera. They can be flawed and like we're seeing great television out of that. Like shout out to all the NAACP award winners. I was super excited for everybody who got an award.
Yeah, yeah. Abbott is brilliant. And everybody. And I didn't realize that there were so many categories for these this award show. And I am thrilled by that. I am really thrilled by how many categories. Like,
it's really broad. Yeah, they got a lot of categories.
There are so many. There are so many opportunities for people to get their flowers. But speaking of which, Gabrielle Union Wade and Dwayne Wade, they received the President's Award, where I believe I didn't hear the speech myself, but Gabrielle Union, she spoke on their daughter, Zaya.
Brought the house down.
Yeah.
Zaya Wade. Yeah, brought the house down. Maybe the most important speech I've seen from a Black award show in years. Like, mm-hmm. easily. Like, up there with Jesse Washington's speech, like that famous speech at the BET Awards that he gave, like saying, like, just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real. Which that line just
they get in their sentimental bag. They get real poetic at the NAACP's. They do. That's
they
their
do.
Moment, as they
but,
should.
But Gabrielle was not playing. And one thing that, you know, stuck out to me, and we've talked about it offline, is that a lot of people in that room harbor those type of transphobic and homophobic feelings that were Black faces in that room. They do not agree with the choices mm-hmm. that Dwayne and Gabrielle have made to support their daughter in whatever that she chooses to do. And I always tell people, Zaya's abundance in love and support from her family is not a diss or a dig at your lack thereof. Because many people do not hate Zaya Wade because she's trans. They hate Zaya Wade because they have never seen or experienced that type of unconditional love and support from family members, especially their parents. And so if you've had to live in a rigid binary world where you had to go by all of these rules because your parents told you to, and they never gave you any type of support when you tried to deviate outside of the box that society and them have placed you in, then of course you're going to feel a way about a motherfucker who can do that and knows themselves better than mm-hmm. you do at already about 16, 17 years old. So shout out to Zaya Wade for having those type of parents. Everybody doesn't get the chance to have those type of unconditional, like, support system and family that, like, will do anything for you. But it doesn't, and I just want to remind parents, is it doesn't take being a multimillionaire actress and, you know, a four-time NBA champion with a whole bunch of money to support your fucking kids. Like, all they need is love and affection and to be the people that they want to be, not the people that you envision them to be. Stop living vicariously through your kids, please. Like, if you can learn anything from Gabrielle Union Wade and Dwayne Wade, is that support your kids 100% because they got an amazing daughter doing some amazing things.
What a beautiful note to wrap up the NAACP's right there. Moving on to the 94th Annual Oscar Awards coming up on March 12th.
It's time.
Yes.
It's time.
Of course, let me rattle off what the Best Picture nominees. Let me see. What Best Picture.
That's
we have
this Sunday.
All Quiet on the Western Front. Avatar.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we here.
Yes.
Here. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's this Sunday.
Yeah. We're coming. Yeah, right around the corner.
Can we record a live reaction to it? We've never done that. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Or can we try that? We'll talk to production about it.
Yeah, we gotta. Yeah. That's
yeah.
You know that voice? That voice is. That's a no voice.
What did Tyler Perry say on Atlanta? We'll do it in post. We'll do it in post.
Right. But for Best Picture nominees, we have All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar Way of the Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, not surprisingly, The Fabelmans, Tar, Top Gun, Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talking. That's the big ticket award right there. Now, for actor in a leading role, these are not people we typically discuss on What the Flick. We have Austin Butler, Colin Farrell, Paul Mescal, you know, supporting roles. Of course, we have Kiwi Kwan from Everything Everywhere All at Once. Personally, and we of course, we have Michelle Yeoh also in Best Actress in a Leading Role.
Everything Everywhere
I think they're
going
to sweep it again, personally. I think...
They said
I think
that
they're gonna do
what I was
think,
listening to
I mean,
I
like,
wanna say like, you know, daytime television. I forget what show it was. I feel like whatever, that the SAG Awards, since those, if I'm getting it wrong, please correct me, that those are given out by, don't say sure. Sure. Those are given out by other actresses and actors, right? And that's a good signal to where the rest of the industry is going to go. And with you saying that, makes me realize that you did go to film school. So that was just like,
I did go to film school. So it's like the connection.
Yeah, yeah.
It's,
you would definitely it's, know.
I would know. I would know. Because that's what I'm saying. So I think it was obviously a brilliant performance. We've been, the evidence is there episode after episode, week after week, the entire award season. And, you know, these artists are incredibly deserving of it. So that's no surprise. We'll see who gets snubbed. We'll see who will be, what is it that they call it? Presenting.
Right.
Presenting.
Because right. It's a lot of elements.
We also got to see the red carpet. Oh, and Rihanna is performing. Yeah. And Rihanna is performing.
Oh, I thought
unfortunately,
you
she's said performing.
It, I was like, oh my God.
I mean, I love that, you know, the song. The song is real cute.
And she pregnant. This is a good song. For you know, we love a good, you know, sing to me while you're pregnant. Is. You know.
I'm hoping that she win that award.
You said what?
What is she? She's nominated too again. Okay, that's good.
She was nominated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's nominated. I mean, it's a tough category. That RRR movie is also nominated.
Yeah, the competition is stiff. The competition is
real stiff.
They on that hoe. They are on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's deep. It ain't a shoe in. It's definitely not a layup.
Right.
It's up in the
but air. We gotta wait and see come Sunday. Next we have. First of all, have y'all been following The Idol? The Idol starring, it's like produced by Sam Levinson or directed by Sam Levinson, and it's starring Louis
Rosen. Oh, I heard about the news about this.
Yes, like, this scandal with this new HBO series, Sam Levinson directing it, and the direction and idea kind of from The Weeknd, Abel Tesfaye. Last week sometime, Rolling Stone came out with an article really critiquing the direction of the show in Levinson and Tesfaye.
Bombshell article.
Yeah, for the graphic and harmful redirection of the new HBO series, The Idol. So they report that under Levinson's new direction, the show has moved away from more of a female perspective to one that really glamorizes predatory behavior and really heinous examples of sexual assault and graphic violence against women. I think most of us primarily know Levinson from Euphoria and also Malcolm and Marie. Euphoria season two was different in terms of like the things that we saw characters do and the way that women were portrayed. Yeah. So, you know, he's really under fire for this reoccurring thematic element of violence against women and, it's really not great. And then The Weeknd, he actually responded to the article on Twitter with a clip from the show that was just totally, completely tone deaf and just inappropriate, honestly, because go ahead.
Oh, no, finish. Because I just want to cuss people out that think that this is like the Rolling Stone article is fake. Like right. I've been seeing that around the...
Right.
Yeah. And so, I'll let you finish. I want to get into that.
Basically, if you're not aware, The Weeknd quote tweeted the article with a clip from the show where his character in the show and Lee Rose Depp's character in the show, they were shading the publication, saying that they weren't relevant anymore, which was really juvenile, immature, not professional at all, considering that what this publication, this reputable publication, is highlighting is heinous violence against women. And like, we're talking about rape and like depiction, like completely needless depictions of this kind of thing against women.
Right.
And for context, the show was spearheaded by a woman, Amy Semites, before. She was the female director. And there was this kind of hang up between, I think there was a back and forth between ideas and her with The Weeknd that really were just not aligning. And eventually she left the project altogether and the reins were kind of taken over by Sam Levinson. So, In interviews with 13 members from the show's cast and crew, Rolling Stone has learned that the drastic delay was caused by Levinson taking over as director and scrapping the nearly finished 54 to $75 million project to rewrite and reshoot the entire thing. So not only are we talking about a delay in a project that was supposed to maybe have come out months ago, but now we're talking about a waste of funds and
a waste of money. Yes. A lot of money too.
Yeah. Yeah. So now it's like they don't even know if the show will be released after all of this.
I'm glad there's still uncertainty in releasing it.
Right. Right.
Like,
okay.
Right. Yeah. Because it doesn't need to be.
Up under these
it doesn't need to be viewed. The one thing that really circumstances, I'm not with this. Like, people have been blowing the whistle about Sam for a minute now, ever since season two of Euphoria, and some people even say since season one. This doesn't really surprise me. The one thing that has really disappointed me is it wasn't just Abel's response to this, talking about they're not a relevant news source. Like, one of the best Rolling Stone had one of the best coverages of the Tory Lanez case. Like, their investigative journalists are thorough. Like, the woman who was covering the Tory Lanez case when the shooting of Megan Thee Stallion was one of the most reputable sources during that trial that I could ever follow. They were dead ass right inside of the damn courtroom as everything was going down. And when I mean she gave every detail, she gave every detail. Like, nothing was missing. So Rolling Stone is not playing around. When they say, yo, this is fucked up, we did our research on this, they have reputable sources. They have talked to the right people. They have interviewed people. For y'all to get on the internet and say that this shit is fake as promo to prop this movie up, y'all really lack media literacy. And I'm going to look dead at the camera because I want y'all to notice y'all lack serious media critical skills. And that is a basic fucking skill. Anybody who reads that report could not leave that report reading that news article and saying, oh, this is fake and this is a promo for a fucking film that was already done and they just scrapped and wasted $57 million. This sounds very similar to how Sam was literally writing the script as they were filming during season two of Euphoria, as we talked about on this very show the previous season. Like, Sam is being called
even around the same time.
Wild
now. Like, if we go back to the conversation that was had in season two about Sam, it might match up to a February, March day. I feel date, you know?
Sure.
Exactly.
Because that's part of the reason why Kat's character, the actor who decided to play Kat,
she left. Yeah, why she left. Like, a lot of this stuff, like, it's not a surprise when you have to have women particularly on your show that people are worried about being exploited have to come out and like tell people like, yo, I'm good. And especially when other women on the show have already left or said that they're leaving because of your lack of attention to care around the show. Like, I would not be surprised if this is Zendaya's last go around in Euphoria, and it doesn't surprise me why she negotiated for so much money, because I'm now thinking like, damn, if I got to deal with this dumbass nigga right here, then at least you better pay me for my time. Account. You might as well get paid, and I better have some more creative control, because she definitely has more creative control than she did even in the previous two seasons, this time around for season three. But it's just like seeing all of this news come out about him regarding Euphoria, like, I'm just waiting for the, you know, finding Sam Levinson, surviving Sam Levinson, just like surviving R. Kelly. Like, I hate to say it, but it's going to be a hell of a Hulu or Netflix documentary.
They want a first stab at it.
Honestly, Hulu go get it. They going to get the rights to it.
Somebody internally got a notepad somewhere.
Y'all missing it. It's going to be HBO, because if anybody going to talk about they miss, it's going to be HBO, because if anybody's going to talk about
it, but they going to get it real good.
Because they're going to show you shit you didn't even know existed.
Confessions or whatever. What is it? Confessionals? Yeah, confessionals.
Right. Yeah.
Hulu just gonna have a voiceover
from every single piece of media she's ever been in.
Eclipse. Right.
Right. And pictures. Picture transitions.
Some clips of interviews.
Right. Picture transitions.
A little bit of B-roll.
Yeah. But yeah, like on a serious tip, like, listeners, this is some really serious stuff, like, coming out of Rolling Stone. And I know, like, we making jokes about Sam right now, but everything that we're saying is like, please check this article out. It is really, it's a really big deal. Like, there should, like, and the narcissism from Abel is like the part that really bothers me. Like, the ego and narcissism from him is like, oh yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. And like,
that's
all this
not
other
surprising.
Stuff. 'Cause it all,
a man that makes that, the music that he makes, that's not surprising.
It
at all.
Doesn't it doesn't surprise me, but I think what doesn't is not his response to the former director that surprises me. It's that he identified so much with Sam Levinson's vision. Is that I have
absolutely,
a problem with.
Absolutely.
Like him saying like this shit right here, yeah, I like this shit. And like and what but we're hearing right now, yeah, that's not good. Like if you and Sam, if you and Sam agreeing on the same thing, that's like me and Jim Bob and the MAGA hat. Right. Like, never mind, agreeing on something. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Took the words out of my mouth. Kate. Say nothing.
Okay. We'll see how that pans out. We'll see when Hulu gets that deal. But to end What the Flick on a little bit of a lighter note, I had to add this. New Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, the trailer for it dropped today.
So
that's coming
good.
Out. It does look so good. Can you name all the Ninja Turtles? Somebody name all the Ninja Turtles. Can you?
Michelangelo, Leonardo, Donatello, and Raphael.
Too easy. But
I'm a 90s baby.
I love the animation.
Where's it coming
style.
To?
I'm so excited for that one. It's
produced I'm so happy
by,
they got
It's a feature film, so it's gonna come out in theaters. But
yeah, it's coming out in theaters.
Yeah.
But yo, it's the fact that they actually got kids voicing them. Like it's not
it's gonna be
like,
so
it's
precious.
Like they're playing like preteens, basically, like animated preteens. So like they actually
new generation
have
of
children
actors.
Voice yeah. acting. Which is going to be hilarious. Like new generation of voice actors, which y'all even know I'm always big on. We need new voices and new skin in the game. But when I say it very much, if you enjoyed Across the Spider-Verse or Into the Spider-Verse, like it very much like matches that same animation style and Moon Girl and the Devil Dinosaur. Like it's very much giving like that type of 3D/2D animation, like mix in between, and it looks really good. Like my jaw was on the floor, like watching that trailer. I was like, "Oh, this is cute. I'm in there.
It's
in
so there. Cute." I've always loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because it's like the concept is so stupid. It's really dumb because why do you have these turtles being taught karate by a rat in a sewer?
And in New York City,
and they crazy about pizza. Why is it a thing? And why are they named after all the major philosophers? Because
it's more there. That's like, why.
Okay. So I just had to highlight it on What the Flick. But on that note, that's a wrap for me here. But y'all got to hold tight because we're about to bring you even more. Let me get my headphones. So stay tuned.
Yurt. What's up, everyone? This is Wise Grisette, creative director at the Indie Creative Network. And you're now listening to Let Me Get My Headphones.
Welcome back to Let Me Get My Headphones. This is Past the Oxford, and this is Jace in the place. And I'm talking to you, coming to you live to talk to you about the new music that has been coming out that I've really, really been enjoying, guys. It has been a good time for music. Y'all know I love anytime it's a good time for music is a good time for me. There's been a lot of new music that has come out recently, from singles to albums. First of all, let's get some stuff out the way. Kaylee Uchis is back. Red Moon and Venus, bop. Masego dropped the self-titled Masego, bop. We forget by Jordan, what's his name, Jay?
Ward.
Jordan Ward, another one. really nice. Really enjoyed that one. Yeah. Don Toliver, Love Sick. Oh, I have played that until the plastic almost fell off. Didn't even realize that Dreamville was actually executive producing the Kree soundtrack, and that has been a banger. And also, songwriter Jazzy has come out with Songs for Women, Free Game for Niggas, which I've also been really, really, really enjoying. But to the singles, we got J.O. with 22. Jay, I know you probably heard that song on TikTok like 1,000 times.
How it go? Do it real quick.
You're 22. 22, that's a bop too. Like, yeah. So I had to hit that. I had to put that one on there. Larry June and the Alchemist came back with 89 Earthquake. And yo, Larry June got the Alchemist to rap at Rolling Loud in LA. Like, I really hate these new rap niggas, like these white kids who be going to Rolling Stone because they don't understand how important that is in hip hop. The Alchemist ain't opened his mouth on a mic to rap in like 20 years.
Can't put a name much, like the Alchemist.
Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, can't talk too much. Like, he's literally just always been the guy behind the board. So to get him to spit something was like super, super dope. Conchis came out with Perm. Deontay Hitchcock, you were right, I was wrong. And there's also been also Chloe Bailey and Chris Brown with How Does It Feel, which I also like that flip on Usher Confessions track, which I really liked. There's been some good music. What have y'all been listening to? I love to always hear what you guys got in your headphones, because obviously this is most of the stuff that I've had so far. And also, we got to talk about somebody special, right? That's also got an album coming out that I haven't talked about on the show yet. Their album will actually be out by the time this episode is out.
You want to go first, Jay?
You guys been listening to?
I've been spinning.
You can go first.
New Key Glock, Glaucoma 2. Yeah.
Oh, Glaucoma 2?
Yeah, love that.
I'm fucking with that. Definitely fucking with that.
I did do, spin my girl. Yeah, I know I'm a barb. So I did spin my girl, Nicki, new track, Red Ruby DeShees. I don't know. I so just think it's a like song it? That she put out, honestly. I think so she's trying to just test the waters and see what the year going to start with. I do think that people are going to, she is going to throw some collabs on it. I do think that's another one of those Freaky Girl collab opportunities. I do like that, again, like knowing how Nicki does some things, because she sends me some quite literally all the demos for her track. So,
sure.
Like, and honestly, just knowing how she's thinking, I think this is the first one to just test the waters, see what is going to stick this year. She loves to do these type of things. And how she got snubbed with a song that won a Grammy last time and, you know, got put, not even snubbed, or like pushed out of a category, I should say, rather. Thinking about her new existence as a sampling artist is what I think she's doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we were just talking about samples earlier. I'm gonna be honest, I don't love the song. I don't like it either. I'm kind of just in the middle. It's not. Shout out to Henny, on TikTok and Twitter. He was pointing out how it wasn't properly mixed, and I could very much tell. Like, she actually performed it at Rolling Loud, and there's a clip of it going around the internet where she's playing the song and she introduces it. You know, this is a new song that I just dropped yesterday. And then when you hear it live, like, of course, nobody's singing the song because nobody really knows it. But like when you hear the beat, like, obviously we know that iconic beat, obviously from the early 2000s, but it just doesn't sound like it's properly mixed yet. So I do like what you're saying. Like, maybe it's just,
it has to.
You know,
that's the
touch and
I'm
feel. See what, you know, see what's out there. See if people like it. Yeah. Yeah, like that, and I appreciate you giving that grace because I was not feeling it initially because I was like, I get what you getting at, but you could have held on to this one for a little bit longer till it was properly mixed and mastered and then gave it to us. I would have been a little bit more appreciative of that. Not
I think
to say
it's gonna hit when it's a remix.
Better. Maybe
I think
if it's a remix,
they're gonna work
with some
it.
More.
Just because the way that the product that Freaky Supergirl, Super Freaky Girl, or whatever it is, what they were able to produce there, I think shows what they can do with other sampled songs. And I do again think that this is feeling the water. True. It's March. It just is, you know, the end of the first quarter. So I think we got a long way to see what she will do, what Nikki will do.
All right. Jay, what about you? What you been listening to?
I have been listening to that new Janelle Monáe Float. I really like that.
I love that song.
Yeah, that one's really cool.
Song feels good every time you play it.
It does feel really good. Miley Cyrus released a demo to Flowers. It's slower. Slower than the single.
Ooh,
I like that. I just
I
love her
that.
Voice. I really love her voice.
She looks just like her mama now.
She looks so good. She looks
not
good
Miley,
grown.
Please.
Miley.
Good
She's my
grown.
Girl.
That's
I remember
her name.
Anyway, she looked
Child,
good.
She stopped twerking and said, I'm going to be off.
She gathered that shit. She's 30.
She settled
She's
in her
30
skin.
Now. And Baby Tate, she did. But that
Baby Tate got something new.
It's the Mickey packet. What she said? The full pack. Here it go. Full pack EP. It's right here.
Oh, the full. Okay, so she. I know she got
Mickey,
it like sped
you're so
up.
Fine, you're so fine. Yeah, that
you
one. I
like
love
Baby
Tate. She's so fun.
I like Baby Tate too. I did not know that Baby Tate's mom is like also like a famous musician. I have to look up.
I'm gonna say something controversial, but them Nepo babies be getting into the industry.
Her mom.
They do.
Her mom is Dion Ferris, and Dion Ferris is famous for, let me see, songs like I Know People Every Day, Hopelessly Devoted, Hopeless on Love Jones. If you remember the song Hopeless on Love Jones, a movie in 1997. But yeah, like
right,
you know,
right.
Listen,
right.
If it's in you, it's in
you.
Yeah,
you're right. You ain't lying.
I will say that. Also, I was going to mention our favorite, you know, rapper,
Love
Lil Wayne, came back with Can't Nobody featuring DMX, which
and
I actually
see,
really like that
add
track.
Something right here? This
to
is
DMX
why
sample.
I believe she released that song the way she did. It's because, you know, she reeled down for Young Money, Cash Money Wreck. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that she released it with the same, like, not even gravitas is the word, I don't think, but like the same, like, Yes.
Now, with the same urgency. I think urgency is the word that you're looking for. Yeah. Yeah. Another artist that I was looking at is J. Cole dropped a new track with J. Hope, who is a K-pop artist, which if you haven't heard that song, it's called On the Street. It's really dope. Young Nudie also dropped a new album, Gumbo, which I'm really, really liking. And
they say good women don't listen to Young Nudie.
I don't know about
so
that.
Are you not listening to him?
Also, a boy band that I've been listening
to. I thought you were saying
I have to double back. Hold on, wait. Before we go on, I just want to see where you stand.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Where did you stand?
Something ain't right.
Okay.
I bump him every now and then.
So
every
we all fall
He's
short
on a
of
playlist
being a good
too.
Woman.
He's
then
on a
is
playlist.
That what you're saying?
The glory of God. We all fall short.
The glory of God. Listen.
Fall short of the glory of God.
I'm not mad at it. I'm also been listening to Wanmore, which is like a young boy band, young black boy band. They really got a really nice tape out, seven track tape, self-titled Wanmore. Some of their tracks would be on volume 20. But yeah, like some really cool stuff. But finally, before we get out of here, we got to talk a little bit about a special episode, especially related to music, that's coming out. We had a ball, and I have to say ball because it was a time. Jay was definitely giving the right side eye in that interview. The right side eye. We had a chance to sit down with KD Texas's own Dende. You guys have heard us talk about his track Better Than Him. You've also heard it on you've heard or seen me put it on our story. And I know you guys have definitely seen it on a couple of our reels when we announced volume 19 back in the day. But what if I told you that Dende saw us talking about him on the timeline? He was like, hey, I got an album coming out. Y'all want to, you know, talk about it? You like, you know, sure. So we had a chance to sit down with Dende and really walk through his life journey and like how he got to this point coming out with 98 Civic. And boy, was that a time. Like, I really felt like we was on the couch with that man, just really rapping with him. Like, it was such a good interview. And the reason why we're bringing this up is because he has an album that is coming out on March 8th, which this album will already be out by the time you listen to this podcast, called 95 Civic. If you have not heard Swerve yet with Emerald Soul, or if you haven't heard Nightmares yet, which released on Valentine's Day, two bangers, really, really two bangers. And like the story that he told us, like him going through an almost marriage and like the, you know, the process of that, like really five stages of grief, and seeing like a man process that is like super dope. But also another project, if you want to get into Dende, that you want to check out, A Happy Man. Wow. Oh my God. Like we had a ball listening to that joint, like really, really listening to that joint, like really, really. So if you want to really get into Dende, that is a place where I really tell you to start. Then you can go into the EP, which really love, which has Better Than Him. And then you can get ready, obviously, for the album that's dropping on the 8th, which ought to be out, which is 95 Civic. We would definitely tell you how to check that out. We really enjoyed the interview. Interview is actually coming out, will already be out by the time this episode is out, which will also be really dope. That's why we're announcing this. Is super special. We had him in the All Artist Studio, and boy, was it a time. I think you guys are really going to love this interview. It's one of our favorites that we've had, and I think you guys will really enjoy it. First time we've had an artist on that is releasing an album, so it's really, really special for us, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. But I want to say that's all the music that I can think about that's come out. I mean, I know that Black obviously dropped a single and the album is coming at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Chloe's coming at the end of the month as well. And there's some other albums that are still around the corner that we're still waiting on. Miley Cyrus album's around the corner as well.
Yes.
It's coming soon.
Yes.
I would definitely tell y'all, like all the albums that we mentioned earlier, make sure that you go check those out. They will all be on volume 20. That will be out by the time you hear this episode. And with that being said, before we get out of here, we got any church announcements for production?
Let's see.
Nigga.
Production ain't been saying nothing lately. So, I mean, with that, we can just close it out. Y'all say bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
We love y'all so much. Bye. See y'all soon.
See y'all soon. See y'all soon.